You're listening to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about adopting a plant-based diet, full or part-time. Our goal is to empower you to live a long and healthy life. You can find today's show at ordinaryvegan.net or on iTunes. If you have any questions, please send an email to questions@ordinaryvegan.net.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to my new labor of love and 11th podcast. If you are new to this podcast, my name is Nancy Montori. And if you want to live a long, healthy life filled with compassion, you are in the right place. The goal of this podcast is for me to empower you to use a simple change in diet as a catalyst for further growth in all areas of your life. And I do that by advocating a plant-based diet. A plant-based diet, also called a vegan diet, consists of unrefined or minimally refined plants. It's a diet based on fruits, vegetables, whole grains like quinoa and brown rice, and legumes like black beans and lentils, and healthy fats like nuts, seeds, and avocado. A plant-based diet does not include meat, dairy, or eggs. Some of you may be thinking, how can a plant-based diet be a catalyst for growth? Well, here is how I see it. When you make the decision to eat a plant-based diet for your health, you are showing yourself the ultimate love and compassion. And when you show compassion for yourself, your compassion for others increases and you begin to look at life differently. And that is our theme today. Compassion, one of the most beautiful words in the English language. And that leads me to today's guest. His name is Gene Bauer. Gene Bauer is an animal activist, author, and co-founder of Farm Sanctuary, which is a farm animal protection organization. If you've never been to a farm sanctuary, it is a place where animals who have been abused, neglected, or abandoned in commercial farming institutes can live out their lives in a peaceful environment. Gene Bauer has been rescuing animals since 1986. He has also authored two books about compassionate living. What I love most about Gene Bauer is that he pries your eyes open ever so gently to why we need to have a different relationship with animals. And he teaches you how to align your empathy with your food. And he does this without any judgment. My dream would be for you to bring your entire family together and listen to this podcast and discuss after how you and your family can unleash your compassion on the world, just like Gene Bauer. Now let's get started. Hi, Gene, and thank you so much for being here today, and welcome to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast.
It is wonderful to be with you. Thank you.
We are very excited and honored to have you as our guest, and I reached out to the Ordinary Vegan Facebook community, which is over 300,000 strong, to find out what questions they wanted me to ask you, and we had a big response. But before I go into the Ordinary Vegan's community questions, I wanted to ask you, Gene, what is a typical week for an animal activist, author, and a man who runs two farm sanctuaries?
Well, for me, there's actually no typical week. You know, some days I'm traveling like crazy. And so some weeks I will be in several different states and several different cities doing talks, meeting with supporters, doing media interviews, talking with business leaders, encouraging them to consider plant-based foods and encouraging plant-based living. Some weeks I will be primarily at home on my laptop, writing and taking my dogs for walks. So it really depends on the particular week, but it varies widely.
Are you working on a new book?
You know, I am starting to think about another book. There is nothing concrete at this point, but at this time I have two books. The first one is called Farm Sanctuary, Changing Hearts and Minds About Animals and Food. The second book is called Living the Farm Sanctuary Life. And I'm contemplating something new that would really focus and go deep on the vegan lifestyle, but it's still as yet to be determined.
Well, we are excited for any book you write, and we'll talk about my favorite book on compassion and a vegan diet called The Farm Sanctuary Life, The Ultimate Guide to Eating Mindfully, Living Longer, and Feeling Better Every Day, later in the podcast. Now, let's take some questions. Dana asked, what compelled you to make your life's mission to help animals and spread the word about a vegan diet and lifestyle?
Well, when Farm Sanctuary started, I didn't really have this long-time vision of making this my life's work. Farm Sanctuary started back in 1986, and we had just learned about this horrible industry that was causing so much harm and felt that it was important to see firsthand the conditions these animals were enduring and to do something about it. So we would investigate farms and stockyards and slaughterhouses. We would find living animals thrown in trash cans or on piles of dead animals. So we started rescuing them. And Farm Sanctuary has just continuously evolved and responded to different circumstances and needs. And this has now become my life's work 30 years later. And I continue taking it day by day, responding to different circumstances and needs, and just trying to do the best I can to promote compassionate living. And that, in my mind, starts with how we eat, because most people are unwittingly supporting this horrible industry that causes animals enormous suffering, that also destroys the planet and hurts our own health. So this has been an ongoing process which continues today. And I feel very grateful to do something I believe in, and I don't see any need to change that approach. Although, as time goes, I do believe that our tactics and our campaign work and our activities do need to evolve to meet new circumstances, and we continue doing that at Farm Sanctuary.
Gene, can you help educate us on how factory farms affect the environment?
When we think about factory farming, oftentimes people hear about the cruelty to animals and are appalled by it. But another issue that not enough people are paying attention to has to do with the enormous environmental harms caused by animal agriculture. The United Nations put out a report a few years ago called Livestock's Long Shadow. And in that report, they talked about how animal agriculture is one of the top contributors to the most serious environmental problems our planet faces, including the loss of biodiversity, including climate change. In fact, animal agriculture is a bigger contributor to climate change than the entire transportation industry. So this is an industry that is destroying the planet, squandering scarce resources to produce plant foods. You need about one-tenth as much water, as much land, as much fossil fuels as to produce animal foods. So not only is animal agriculture destroying the planet, polluting the planet, but it's also squandering scarce and precious resources like water. So how we eat has profound consequences on our earth and everybody who lives on it. And that's another very important point I think people need to start paying more attention to. And then ultimately, eating in a way that is in our interest. And it's not in our interest to support an animal agriculture system that's destroying the planet the way ours is today.
Jennifer wants to know how you fund your sanctuaries, and do you have farmers who donate food to your animals?
Farm Sanctuary is a nonprofit organization, and so all of the animals we care for and all of the work we do is supported by generous donors who fund this and donate to our work. So if anybody's interested, they can go to our website, which is farmsanctuary.org. And in terms of farmers, they don't generally agree with us because we're a vegan organization, and farmers that raise animals have a different perspective. But that said, there are sometimes individuals in the farming system who agree with us and who are sympathetic and who will sometimes help animals that they see at these factory farms and will actually bring them to farm sanctuary. So there are times when we have been able to work with individuals in that system, but by and large, we are a vegan advocacy organization. And so when it comes to animal farms, we have fundamental differences of opinion. But there are also farms that produce plant foods and businesses also that market plant foods. And we work with them to advance vegan living and vegan lifestyles. So in many cases, those types of businesses and farms and food production organizations will be aligned with us, and we'll work together with them. And they will sometimes donate products to our events and to our efforts.
Hillary has a tough question. She wants to know how you live with the horror and pain of factory farming and animal abuse. She went on to say she once saw a pig being abused and she could never get that image out of her head.
It's very difficult to live knowing that every year billions of animals are tortured and abused and then slaughtered and eaten in our country, and that most people don't think about it. And, you know, I started Farm Sanctuary back in the 1980s investigating these places to see firsthand what was happening. And it was very difficult to witness that time and time again and to feel helpless in many cases. Rescuing animals, though, from those horrible situations allowed us to focus on something positive. And as we were able to rescue animals and watch them heal, that also helped to heal us. And so that was part of the process, is doing something concrete that gave us hope. And I think we need hope. And so what I do today is, you know, I recognize the bad things that are happening. It's important to deal with the bad things that are happening. But I think it's also important to focus on the good things and focus on what you can do instead of feeling depressed and defeated about what you can't do. There's a serenity prayer that I sometimes think about, which says, to give me the strength to change the things I can, the serenity to accept the things I can't change, and the wisdom to know the difference. So it's about focusing on what you can do, being empowered by what you can do, and holding on to the good things and trying to build those.
Alexandria and Lisa want to know how one goes about opening a farm sanctuary.
Farm sanctuaries are popping up all over the country and, in fact, all over the world, which is a very good thing. But it also requires a lot of time and energy and resources to operate these. So we encourage people to start slowly, and we actually host an annual conference for people interested in starting a sanctuary. And you can learn more about that on the Farm Sanctuary website.
Wow, I didn't know about that. That's great. Karen asked, what is your advice about making small but impactful changes at the local level with friends and coworkers?
I think some of the most profound changes happen at the local level, where individuals reach out to their friends and coworkers and family members and model a more compassionate lifestyle. And this can be something as easy as bringing vegan food to work and sharing it, or taking people out to a vegan restaurant or to a restaurant and encouraging them to have vegan food. People are creatures of habit, and most of us grow up with the habit of eating animals. And I think that's a bad habit. It's unhealthy for us. It's bad for the animals. It's bad for the environment. I think most people would rather live in a way that was healthier, more compassionate, and better for the earth. So I think each person in their own community can play a role in helping those around them to live more mindfully and more compassionately by making plant-based foods accessible. And so to me, that's a big way that people can create significant changes in their own communities with people around them, and also by going to local restaurants and encouraging local restaurants to provide vegan food.
That's great advice. Lori wants to know if there was one animal in particular who has touched your heart over any other animal and why.
That is a tough question. Every animal, of course, is an individual. Every animal is special. For me, I think probably I would have to say Hilda was the one that had the greatest impact. She was the first animal rescued by Farm Sanctuary. She was literally dumped on a pile of dead animals behind a stockyard. And watching her recover helped us to recover and also presented an example of what we could do to make a big difference. And many animals, in fact, thousands have followed Hilda.
Ryan wants to know how you make sure the feed you give to your animals is vegan.
At Farm Sanctuary, we take care of cows and pigs and chickens and turkeys and sheep. And the good news is that those animals are primarily herbivorous. Pigs can eat a variety of different things, but cows graze and primarily eat grass. Same thing with sheep. Chickens eat grain. Pigs eat grain. So it's pretty easy for us to provide them with vegan food.
Abby wants to know, how does it feel working with these animals daily, but then seeing people eat animals?
You know, at Farm Sanctuary, the animals are our friends, not our food, and we get to know them as individuals. And it is difficult to see people eating these individuals who we know. It's sort of like if you live with a dog and you go to a friend's house and they have the body of a dead dog in the middle of the table that is being consumed, you know, like for Thanksgiving, instead of it being a turkey, what if it was like a dog? Well, for us at Farm Sanctuary, you know, we take care of these turkeys like people take care of their dogs. So it is difficult. And I guess the only thing I can say is you try not to focus on and fixate on the bad thing, because there are a lot of bad things in this world. And instead, you try to focus on the good thing as much as possible. And just to be straightforward and honest as well. So if there is a time when you really are having an emotional difficulty with what you're seeing, being honest about it and trying to deal with it straightforward and say, look, it's really hard for me and to see this. And if that's the case, then maybe you don't go out to certain kinds of meals. And that can be really difficult. And that's one of the big challenges of being vegan, is that around us, people are engaged in this carnage. And we are immersed in it. So dealing with it can be tough. But for me, I've been doing this for a long time. And I try to focus on the good things. And when there are horrible things, I just try not to focus.
Best Critter Sitters wants to know, how can we enlighten and convince more humans to choose compassion and respect for animals over their taste buds without getting angry?
I think the best way for us to inspire others to change and to live more kindly is to be good examples. And I think a big part of that is to show how tasty and satisfying vegan food can be. You know, most of us are creatures of habit, and we do things just because we have the habit of doing it, not because we have really thought very much about it. And so I grew up eating meat because everybody around me was eating meat. I think most of us have had that experience. But if instead we can bring great vegan food and show people how tasty it is, I think many would prefer it, especially when they know that it doesn't cause harm to animals or themselves or the planet. So I think just being a good example and also making vegan food accessible and showing people how tasty and satisfying it can be.
Linda wants your opinion on why some people have empathy for animals and others don't.
I think everybody has empathy for animals, or could have empathy for animals. And I think those who are behaving in a way that is callous and inhumane and causing other animals to suffer oftentimes have closed off part of their own humanity and their own heart. And I think a big part of our goal as vegan advocates is to find that empathy and to build on it and to encourage it to come back alive. And so it's a matter of finding that. And in some cases, it could be as simple as talking to a person about how veal calves are raised, chained by the neck in small crates where they can't move. And if somebody's eating meat and not thinking very much about it, talking about something like veal is sometimes the way to begin the process of examining what we do to other animals and hopefully encouraging people's hearts to open again. In some cases, it takes a while. Sometimes people have big walls up and they don't want to look. But what's strange is that oftentimes the people who put up the biggest walls and the biggest barriers to discussing these issues often have very deep feelings about it. And that's why they've put up these big walls, because they don't want to deal with it. And I think it's important also to realize that humans are primarily emotional animals. We do things for emotional reasons. And one of the big emotions is fear. And people are afraid of changing, or people are afraid of looking at something that's difficult. So to the extent that we can reach people and make it less scary to open up their eyes and their hearts, I think that's a very positive thing. And that's why I keep coming back to yummy food. Bringing vegan cupcakes or vegan cookies is a great way to touch people and show, look, this isn't scary. This is tasty and it's easy. And then people become less frightened of changing and less frightened of looking at the issues.
That is a great point, Gene. I know from my own experience that feeding my family delicious vegan food has opened up their eyes. And even if they're not full-time vegans yet, they are definitely open to changing their lifestyle part-time for now and possibly full-time for later.
I think food is huge. Every day, all of us eat. And the way we eat has profound impacts. And by making a change there, we can make huge changes to the way other animals live and to life on this planet.
I agree. Kate wants to know if you support people who wear fur or leather.
I am not a proponent of wearing fur or leather. When the question is, do I support people who did wear fur or leather, I would frame it a little differently. And one of the phrases I like is to love the sinner and hate the sin. So I don't like that people are wearing fur and leather, and I would discourage them from wearing fur and leather. But I would support those people in any step they take away from supporting abusive industries like the fur and leather industry. So I would speak with them, I would engage them, and I would encourage them to look at what they're doing and ultimately to live in a way that is more compassionate. And I think most people would rather live in a compassionate way as opposed to a cruel way. So that's how I would approach it. I don't support wearing fur and leather, but I support people wherever they are and encourage them to take steps towards living more compassionately.
Magda wants your opinion on how close we are to ending factory farming.
I think that there is more awareness now than ever about factory farming, and we're starting to see a big move away from some of the worst confinement systems, where animals are in cages and crates where they can't turn around, they can't move, they can't stretch their limbs. And so we're making a lot of progress in that way. However, when we talk about factory farming, I think we need to discuss what exactly that means. Because as, for example, battery cages are starting to be phased out by the egg industry now, and battery cages are these small wire enclosures where egg-laying hens are kept packed so tightly they can't even stretch their wings. They're constantly scraping against the bars of their cages. Their feathers wear off. And they live this way for about a year. So this is a horrible system. And the egg industry has been under a lot of pressure to change. And they are. And they're now going to a cage-free system where you have hens in these big warehouses where they are able to stretch their wings, but they're still very much overcrowded. So that is still, I would say, a factory farm. And even in organic production, you have animals that are in essentially factory farm conditions. So I think we've made a lot of headway, but the fundamental question is, what should our relationship with these other animals be? And as long as we still see them as commodities and edible products instead of as living, feeling creatures, we're going to have some form of factory farming. So I think it's going to be a long time, unfortunately, before we see a complete end to that type of exploitative relationship. But I would also say that in the meantime, there have been significant strides towards ending some of the worst cruelties in factory farming.
Michelle has a three-part question. When did you become vegan? Was it difficult at first? And do you ever slip up?
I went vegan in 1985, and at that time, it was a lot harder than it is now. Back in 1985, for soy milk, I remember having to mix powder with water. And today, you can go into a mainstream grocery store and find all kinds of plant-based milks instead of cow's milk. There's almond milk and soy milk and coconut milk. So it's easier than ever. And do I ever slip up? No. I am committed to this lifestyle. I have seen what happens to animals in these systems, and I have no desire to consume animal products.
Angela wants to know, if you cook, and do you keep it simple, or do you have to spend a lot of time in the kitchen?
I occasionally cook, and I generally keep it quite simple. In some cases, it's embarrassingly simple. I'll like take oatmeal and some kind of non-dairy milk, or a cold cereal, or toast with avocado in it, or a salad. Like, I like arugula a lot with peppers and beans, and some kind of salad dressing, like goddess dressing, or a balsamic dressing, or a combination of those two. I make a scrambled tofu dish, which is one of my more complex creations in the kitchen. And I actually have that recipe in the Living the Farm Sanctuary Life book, which includes 100 amazing vegan recipes, one from me, but many from others. And so, yeah, I keep it pretty simple for the most part.
Natalie wants to know if you eat honey.
Honey is an interesting case. I have been avoiding honey for many years. And in recent years, it was pointed out to me that bees are also exploited in the growing of nuts and fruits in California, for example. They're brought over there by the billions to pollinate crops. And I thought to myself, is that okay? And I realized that it's impossible to live without causing any harm. And to me, I'm coming around to this position that it boils down to what is our relationship with other animals. And ideally, we want to try to create mutually beneficial relationships where both us and the other are made better for the relationship. So I oppose the commercial exploitation of bees and other animals. But there may be circumstances where, for example, somebody creates a good habitat for bees. And this is very important because we are losing bee habitat. And if those bees have a good life and if they produce extra honey, I think that that might be worth considering. So it's really about the relationship and not exploiting and extracting from others. And there are some hives now, apparently, where the honey actually drips down. So you don't have to undo and destroy their hives, apparently. I don't know that much about it, but it's one that I'm becoming a little bit more open-minded about and exploring.
Andrea wanted to know if you know anything about dog nutrition and if dogs can be fed vegan food. She went on to say that most vets scold her for even asking that question.
Dogs actually can be vegan. There's different dog foods like V-Dog, for example, that are vegan dog foods. In the case of cats, however, it's more difficult. I think cats are obligate carnivores, and they do need to eat some meat. So people who have cats really do face dilemmas, I think.
Jeannie wants to know if pigs are really smart, and Patricia wants to know how much Hank weighs. Our community had a lot of questions about your pigs. So are pigs really smart?
Pigs are very smart. Whenever scientists and university researchers have looked at these animals, they've been surprised at how brilliant they are. I remember speaking to somebody who had done work at Penn State with pigs on computer games, and they told me that these pigs were smarter than primates. And at Farm Sanctuary, the pigs are very smart. And when you look into their eyes, they look a lot like a human's eyes. So yes, pigs are very smart. And the way they're treated is just inexcusable. But I would also say, whether they're smart or not, treating other animals badly is not good. But when people learn how smart these animals are and how complex their cognitive abilities are, it often means that people are more willing to think and change the way they eat.
Jill wanted to know if Hank is still in the New York sanctuary.
Yes, Hank is still in the New York sanctuary, as far as I know. He's a turkey that lives there. I get to the sanctuary from time to time, but I'm not there on a regular basis, so I can't give you the most up-to-date information, but last I heard, he was still there and he was doing okay.
Last question, or I should say observation, comes from Isabel. But I'm certain so many people feel the same way. Isabel says, "God bless you, Jean. You are an earth angel, and it touches her heart when animals are saved by people like you." So thank you. But before we go, can we talk about the book, The Farm Sanctuary Life, The Ultimate Guide to Eating Mindfully, Living Longer, and Feeling Better Every Day? And what was your mission when you were writing this book, and what do you hope to share and accomplish with the readers?
With Living the Farm Sanctuary Life, the goal was to encourage people to live mindfully and to live in a way that was aligned with their own values and their own interests. I believe most people are humane, but at the same time, most people growing up in the U.S. and other developed countries are eating animal products that come from animals who are terribly abused. So oftentimes when the issue of factory farming comes up, people say, "Don't tell me, I don't want to know, it's too upsetting." And it's because people have empathy and don't want to see others suffer. And so there is this disconnect between our empathy and our desire to treat others with compassion and the way we eat. So if we align our empathy with our actions around food, we would see a massive shift towards plant-based eating and away from animal-based eating. Also, in Living the Farm Sanctuary Life, we talk about living in alignment with our interests, eating food that is healthy and nourishes us, instead of eating food that makes us sick, which is what we do in this country today. It's been estimated that we could save 70% on healthcare costs by shifting to a whole foods plant-based diet, which is massive. So it's not in our interest to eat animal-based foods and processed foods that make us sick, but we're doing that. So changing to eating in a way that's aligned with our interests, we would have a big shift. And it's also not in our interest to support an agricultural industry such as animal agriculture that's destroying our planet. So in Living the Farm Sanctuary Life, we put forward this idea that we can live well without causing unnecessary harm. And if we can do that, why wouldn't we? And the book includes simple steps people can take to go down the path towards plant-based eating, because we also realize that oftentimes people change over time and don't change overnight. So we have recipes, we have tips on setting up a vegan kitchen, we have ideas about eating more plant-based and transitioning to living more mindfully and in a way that's aligned with our values and interests.
Well, I love that book, and I've said it before, and I will say it again. Anyone who loves animals and wants to spread the compassionate message and enjoy great recipes should read The Farm Sanctuary Life. Thank you so much for spending time with the Ordinary Vegan community today, Jean. And if any of you out there are looking for an amazing vacation, an opportunity to hang out with Jean Bauer, Jean will be a presenter at the Holistic Holiday at Sea, which is an all-vegan cruise. And as many of you know, I taught cooking classes on that cruise in 2016. And that plant-based vacation is a life changer. I will put a link to the cruise in this week's show notes. Jean, what should we expect from you on the 2017 Holistic Holiday at Sea?
Well, I'll be speaking about the work Farm Sanctuary does and expanding on the work of Living the Farm Sanctuary Life book, talking about living mindfully, living compassionately, living healthfully, and in an ecologically sustainable way.
I can't wait. Thanks again, Gene, for sharing your compassionate message today, and I hope you join us again real soon.
Thank you so much, Nancy. I would be very happy to. I really enjoy it.
Thanks. And thanks to all of you for joining us today. I've been getting a lot of love from you guys, and I want you to know how much I appreciate your kind words and your encouraging words. You have no idea how much it means to me. So keep those questions, thoughts, and feedback coming. You can send me an email at questions@ordinaryvegan.net, or I have this very cool recorder on my website, and you can record your question. All you have to do is hit the black record button and send me a voice message or a question or any feedback you have. You can find me and all my podcasts online at ordinaryvegan.net/playlist or on iTunes. Just search for Ordinary Vegan. You can find all my recipes on ordinaryvegan.net and resources for getting started on a vegan diet. By the way, if you're tuning in for the first time, I highly recommend listening to podcast number one, Getting Started on a Plant-Based Diet. If you get a minute, please write a review on iTunes, because the more reviews the podcast gets, the more prominently it will be featured in iTunes, which means reaching more people with our plant-based message. I will post an iTunes link in this week's show notes located at ordinaryvegan.net/compassion. We also have an amazing supportive health and wellness community on Facebook, and they would love to get to know you, so just go to facebook.com/ordinaryvegan and hit like. The last thing I would like to say is Father's Day is coming up. It's a great opportunity to give your dad, brother, or son a compassionate gift, like Gene Bauer's latest book, Living the Farm Sanctuary Life, or by making a donation in your loved one's name to Farm Sanctuary. I will put links in this week's show notes to both. They are working so hard for defenseless animals. That's it. Thanks for joining me on this adventure. Till next time.
Thanks for joining our plant-based community today. Together, we can accomplish great things. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of Ordinary Vegan's recipes and plant-based tips. If you have any questions or feedback, email us at questions@ordinaryvegan.net. Until next time.